Glory, glory, hallelujah! We have reached a milestone! Episode 22! Season finale of Season 1! Which means we will be halfway there. Whoa, oh, living on a prayer. Actually, I think that might be worse. If I have to listen to Bon Jovi, that's worse than watching Baywatch Nights, right? Sure, whatever. This one's called Heat Rays, which I'm going to guess, because the thumbnail picture is a guy playing drums, that I'm going to guess the Heat Rays is the name of this guy's band. That or, you know, someone's created, like, an evil laser that's going to shoot heat rays, and only David Hasselhoff can stop them. Either one's likely. So, you know, the sooner I start, the sooner I am done with season one. So, let's go. So, we start off with an ass shot, and I'm not complaining, as this girl in the bikini gets out of a hot tub, and we don't see her face, because she's probably the murderer, I'm assuming. So there's got to be a reason we don't see her face. We see that ass, but we don't see her face. And this long-haired freaky person comes and he's in his swim shorts. He's like, "Hey, babe! Let's get some bubbly!" And he's obviously drunk and he slips into the hot tub. As drunk people do. Oh, by the way, like, it's nighttime and they've got all these candles all around the hot tub, you know, to make it romantic or whatever. Do people actually do this? In real life? When they try to set the mood and make it romantic? Like, okay, maybe one or two candles? But do people set up, like, 10 candles all around? Because that is a fucking fire hazard. And I'm against it. Especially, like, if you slip into the hot tub and get knocked unconscious. He's not knocked unconscious. He's not knocked out yet. It looks like he's going to drown at first, but then he pops his head up. "Ah, hey, babe, let's party!" And kablammo! She hits him over the head with a wine bottle. Or maybe a champagne bottle. Or a sparkling wine bottle. Because, you know, it's only champagne if it comes from that area of douchebags. Yeah, you know what? Because, just fucking asshole, like, "Oh, it's got to be from this special area to be champagne." Yeah, fuck you, dude. You pretentious asshole. Who cares? Sparkling wine, champagne, whatever. Tastes like shit and I'm only drinking it to get drunk and I'm too classy for Red Bull. Fucking assholes. Why are you too classy for Red Dog? As you can tell, I have not actually drank in quite some time. But Red Dog was fucking awesome, because that was the beer that you drink to keep your buzz going. Because you're like, "I'm fucking drunk, but now I'm kind of broke from all the beers I've been drinking all night. Let's get some Red Dog." So, anyhow, she hits him over the head, and now he's knocked unconscious, and now he probably will drown. And luckily, this is the perfect crime, because obviously he was drunk, so it's completely believable that he would slip into the hot tub. The, you know, thing on his head, like, if they're, say, like, "Oh, he's got, like, a big bruise on his head," or whatever they say, like, "Well, he hit his head on the way into the hot tub." It's the perfect crime! There's no way that they can say, like, for sure that it's premeditated. "Your Honor, he was drunk, and he was clumsy." Well, we've got nothing to hold you on. I think I'm spending more time talking about this scene than the scene actually lasted. So, now it's still nighttime, and Donna DeArco is driving on the highway, on a bridge highway, when she gets stopped by this guy who's like, "You gotta help us!" Because he's there with two girls and they're looking over the bridge. You're like, "Her boyfriend jumped off the bridge! You gotta help us! Do you have a car phone?" And Don DeArco's like, "Yeah, I got a car phone. And let me go look over this to make sure." And I don't know about you. And Donna DeArco must just have a kind heart to just believe them at their word. And I would mock that, but I kind of have been in the same situation where I was a little too trusting of someone who needed help. But luckily, I was only out $40 and he didn't steal my car. But so Donna DeArco looks over the bridge and the girls are like, "He's disappeared. He must have gone under the bridge. We can't see him anymore." And Donna DeArco's like, "I'll take care of this." And she jumps, or more accurately, her stunt double jumps into the water. Why, I don't know. She doesn't dive, either. She, like, goes feet first. Which, I mean, is that, like, the preferred way to jump off the bridge into the water? I would think you would want to dive, like, head first, but with your arms in front of you so that your hands are breaking the water and not your head. Or at least if you're going to go feet first, do like a fucking cannonball or something. I don't know. But then again, I'm not a lifeguard. But neither is Donna DeArco. Because she only becomes a lifeguard when she moves over to Baywatch proper. Which was after Baywatch Nights ended. I looked that up because I was very curious, like several episodes ago, of how Donna DeArco goes back and forth between Baywatch Days and Baywatch Nights. But while she's there in the water, everyone's laughing at her like, "Oh, you man, we didn't think you'd jump. We're just stealing your car. So, later, babe." And they get in the car and they drive off. See, Donna DeArco, I tried to warn you, but you have a kind heart, and I'm a kindred spirit. I luckily did not jump off the bridge, because that was not quite my situation. I was not on a bridge, but I did stop to help someone who robbed me. So, let that be a lesson to you people. Never, ever do a good deed. But while she's in the water, oh no, a cruise ship is coming. Oh, my heart is racing. No, it seriously was. I was like, whoa, like, how is she going to get out of the way in time? And she does get out of the way in the time. And the cruise ship passes by, but, you know, hopefully she can swim to shore or someone comes save her. Because after the night goes down. Or wait, not the night. After the sun goes down. Someone's going to live. Someone's going to die. And luckily, Donna DeArco is in the someone's gonna live category. So we're down on the boardwalk where the beach area. I don't know. It's a boardwalk beach area where we normally just hang out. And the Heat Rays are setting up. I told you the Heat Rays was the name of the band. I called it. But, you know, only because it was spoiled in the thumbnail. But, I thought, like, the Heat Rays was going to be, like, some local garage band or something. Because at first I see, like, some young kids setting up. But no, those are, like, the roadies. Because Angie Harmon has never heard of the Heat Rays. But David Hasselhoff and Garner are just talking about how awesome they are. And they're a surf rock band that's, you know, kind of ripping off the Beach Boys' Jan and Dean sound. Because David Hasselhoff and Garner start singing one of the Heat Rays' big hit songs, which is just totally, like, the cliched California sound. But I'm impressed, actually. Because, yeah, we all knew David Hasselhoff can sing. He's got the pipes, you know. Germany's onto something. They know. They know better than we do. But Garner also, he gets some good harmony in on there. And it's like, all right. And then they see Buddy Ray, the lead singer of the Heat Rays, and obviously the Mike Love stand-in, down to, like, the balding head. In fact, if he had a hat, maybe, like, they didn't give Buddy Ray a hat because they're like, well, it will be too fucking obvious that it's Mike Love. And Buddy Ray, according to David Hasselhoff, invented the California beach sound. Sure, if you say so, Hasselhoff. And that's why the Heat Rays is like the Beach Boy stand-in, and Buddy Ray is the Mike Love stand-in. And even more so, because while Buddy Ray is looking at the stage, seeing everything getting set up, the wife of one of the other Heat Rays, who is no longer in the band, who got kicked out, is mad because Buddy Ray is taking over and taking all the money. So, does that sound familiar? It's the Mike Love, Brian Wilson drama. Except I don't know if Brian Wilson's wife got all, like, defensive and punching Mike Love, as this woman does. I forgot, I didn't hear her husband's name. So I'm just going to call it Brian Wilson's wife. And Mike Love, Buddy Ray, he's got like a, even though he's like in his 50s or 60s, he's got like a 20-year-old groupie girl hanging out with him in a crop top. And yeah, I'm going to call bullshit on this one. Not that I don't think Mike Love would be able to score like a 20-year-old groupie, but Mike Love is not scoring a 20-year-old groupie. And if he does, like, she's going to be someone that came there with her mom. Definitely not someone in a crop top and shorts that obviously is kind of like modern era, probably listening to like Letters to Cleo or Spice Girls, or just take your pick of like whatever popular band. Do you like that I put Letters to Cleo and Spice Girls kind of on the same level there? But yeah, she's listening to one of those bands. Maybe Sarah McLachlan. She might be a Lilith Fair. No, she's not very hippie-ish. So she's not at the Lilith Fair. But anyways, Brian Wilson's wife is like insulting the groupie, and there's a cat fight. Like, meow. But luckily, David Hasselhoff and Garner break things up. Like, hey, let's keep it calm. This is beach music. Beach music is happy music. Because, you know, the Heat Rays obviously is pre-Pet Sounds era Beach Boys. Meanwhile, over in the ocean, Donna DeArco's still lost at sea. Like, I don't know, like, she was near civilization, near a bridge that, you know, she jumped into, and I guess the waters just swept her out, and now she's in the middle of ocean nowhere. And luckily for her, she had, like, worn a wetsuit, which was kind of weird. Like, she was just driving around in a wetsuit, and I didn't really think much of it. But now that I think of it, like, why the fuck was she driving around in a wetsuit? But she should be thankful that she decided to wear a wetsuit and not, like, one of her, like, skimpy dresses that she wears in, like, every other episode. Because now she's, like, stuck at sea. Could you imagine if she was in one of her slutty dresses? Wet. Donna DeArco, why didn't you wear one of your slutty dresses and jumped in the river? But, I mean, it's good as far as, like, hypothermia goes, though, that she did wear the wetsuit. And she still just kind of lost her at sea, and boats pass by and none of them see her. Hopefully, someone saves them. Meanwhile, the Heat Rays are doing the performance. And much like the Beach Boys, looks like that Buddy Ray is the only original member, because everyone else is, like, 20. But let me play you a little bit of their music. So, yeah, totally, like, I could see. They definitely pioneered the California surf sound. And, I mean, it's a free concert that they're playing on the beach walk. But, considering the like fact that Buddy Ray is very old, I would have expected like a lot more old people watching them. But it's kind of the young kids. I don't know. I don't remember. In the late 90s, was there a surf rock revival for like Beach Boys-esque harmonies? I know in like the 2000s, Brian Wilson finally got, you know, his real due and was allowed to finish Smile. It's a great fucking album. Seriously, pick that up. Brian Wilson's Smile. Great fucking album. Probably, had it actually been finished back in the 60s, it would have been like a fucking huge milestone. We'd be talking about the Beach Boys and not the Beatles. Oh, we'd probably still be talking about the Beatles. But obviously, Buddy Ray did not have his Pet Sounds / Smile era of just... Because that was Brian Wilson. Mike Love, if it was up to Mike Love, they probably would still be doing shit like this. In fact, I think they still do shit like this. They do fucking Kokomo, which I think is their most recent hit. So I could see the Heat Rays having their Kokomo period. But, yeah, like, why is it all young people? Maybe it's just because, you know, they're on the beach and it's only young people. No one knows that the Heat Rays were doing a performance other than Hasselhoff and Garner because they're fucking, like, Heat Rays groupies. They're super fans, man. And just all these young people are just people that are kind of walking on the beach like, hey, yeah, it's inoffensive. So, yeah, I'll bop my head. The melodies are kind of catchy. But then the lead guitarist goes to step on his wah-wah pedal. Looks like a wah-wah pedal. I don't know, but was wah-wah, like, an integral part of, like, surf music? Because I'm trying to think. I don't know if wah-wah pedals were really, like, a big part of the sound. It'd be almost kind of like if he was playing even, like, a Big Muff. You'd be like, what? No! Surf rock doesn't use Big Muffs. Look at me. I'm sounding all, like, specific guitar technical. Oh, shit. I don't know what I'm talking about. I play guitar. I don't know. I just know what other guitar players say. And so I'm just repeating them. But the guitar player, the lead guitar player, goes to step on his pedal and... Kablowie! There's a giant spark and he's knocked unconscious. And the pedal catches fire. Which, I'm gonna call bullshit! I don't know if it would actually catch fire. In fact, I don't know if the pedal... I don't know if a guitar pedal would even, like, really, like, spark like that. How would that be? I've had guitar pedals die on me. Well, I guess in fairness, it was the batteries that died and probably not the pedal itself. But how does it blow up? I mean, I guess the circuitries could overheat and catch fire. But, I mean, I guess theoretically it could. So I rescind my bullshit. But luckily, David Hasselhoff is there and can perform CPR so that the lead guitarist doesn't die. So everyone's standing around, and the younger guys, which actually they're not young. They're kind of just younger than Buddy Ray. They're kind of maybe like in their late 40s. But they have their hair, so that's why they don't look as old. And they're like, oh, well, when can we load up, you know? And Gardner's like, well, the police are still investigating things, so you gotta leave your shit there. And they're like, investigating? Why? It was just a freak accident. Garner's like, I don't think so. That wah-wah pedal? Well, he says it like, that thing you call the wah-wah pedal was ground to a circuit. And anyone that stepped on it, kablooey! So, might have been... murder. And the two guys are like, whoa, it can't be. Oh, by the way, where is Cafe Raid? No, that's a gay bar in this area. I've never been. Not that I have anything against gay bars, just no one invites me out to bars. So, what? Buddy Ray! Where is Buddy Ray? I hope the police are, like, you know, grilling him, like, hey, what the fuck? How do you know? I don't know. I don't know what the police would be asking him. They'd be at... Where is he? He's my number one suspect now. And Marty, the Brian Wilson of the group, his widow, because apparently he's dead, so it's not quite the same as the Beach Boys drama. And she's like, oh, I think it was Glenn, because he got kicked out of the band, but remained a roadie. Which, I don't know how that works. if I get kicked out of a band and they say, well, but you can still be our roadie, I'd be like, fuck you! I'm going to go join the band that's ripping off Jan and Dean. How do you just going to stick around? Like, I'll be a roadie. I'd be like, damn it, if you don't want me actually playing on the music, that's okay. Can I just have a guitar and you can turn it completely down and I'll just stand there? Oh, but you probably would be making more money as, like, the guy just holding the guitar as opposed to the guy rotoing. See how upset you guys have got me? But, you know, the other guys are like, no, we don't think it's Glenn. We think it's Marty's widow. Because she was going to divorce him, but apparently she held off long enough until he died and then got all his money instead of just half the money. That's very suspicious. And then she's like, yeah, well, they got all the music publishing, so... She's right. The other guys in the band have, like, the music publishing. That is where the money is. Ask Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney about that. Because that is why they are not friends. That and plus the fact that Michael Jackson's dead. But if you don't know the story, which I feel like everyone should, but if you happen to be one of the younger kids listening to my podcast... Paul McCartney told Michael Jackson, the money is in music publishing, so buy up music publishing when you can. And Michael Jackson's like, that's a good idea, Paul McCartney. Oh, by the way, looks like the Beatles music publishing is up for grabs, and I know you really want that, but fuck you! I'm buying it. Because I imagine, Michael Jackson just momentarily became, like, a stereotypical Italian when he's like, I'm a-buying it! So, music publishing is where the money is at. But the other guys in the band, because they're, like, cousins with Marty. Again, the Beach Boys, they were, like, 15 cousins plus Mike Love. Actually, wasn't Mike Love, like, also a cousin? He just didn't have the Wilson name. So, yeah, the Heat Rays is just purely a stand-in for the Beach Boys. And he's like, well, won't you be happy once we're all dead? And she's like, no. And they're like, well, Garner, I think that should make her a top 40 suspect. That was horrible. And Donna DeArco is still stuck at the soundstage tank. I mean, the ocean. And luckily, there is a boat coming by, and they see her. And they're debating, like, you know, we can't just leave her there. She's probably going to drown, and we're not complete shitheads. But, we're kind of up to something shady. So, could we really bring her? Oh, well, we're not complete shitheads, so we're going to take her up. And Donna DeArco's like, oh, thank you so much. Can you just drop me off anywhere? Just land and I'll find my way from there. They're like, not really. We're kind of on a tight schedule. We're studying abalone because we're students trying to save the abalone. And she's like, okay. And so they go off into the corner of the boat, which this boat's like maybe 5 feet long. No, not 10 feet long. I don't know. It's a small boat. My point is they're not very far from her when they start saying, do you think she bought it? Just, I'm pretty sure she could fucking hear you, but she didn't somehow. But you are like close enough that she could probably fucking hear you saying, do you think she bought it? And then they're like, well, I don't know, but she will be the perfect cover, because who's going to think like that we would take a girl out on a day like this? You mean on a day like this? It's a nice sunny day. Why wouldn't you be I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I just, these guys are up to no good. Run, Donna DeArco, run. So the Hasselhoff Detective Agency is talking to Buddy Ray and his little groupie girlfriend. And, you know, they think like, you know, it seems like a very weird coincidence that two of the band members died in the past week. And, wait, what? Marty fucking died like a week ago? And you guys went and played a show? Like, it's not even like he was a former member. He was actually still in the band last week and he died. And you're like, he would have wanted us to keep playing. Which, okay, maybe Marty, maybe that was Marty's wish. Like, if I ever die, you guys keep playing. And now the other guy is dead. Because the guitar player, he died. Hasselhoff was not able to save him. So, two of the band members are dead. Go ahead, go play another show, guys. That's what they would want. And Buddy Ray just thinks it's weird, because the toxicology report says that Marty was drunk off his ass when he fell and slipped in the hot tub. And Buddy Ray's like, no, that can't be. Marty's been, like, sober for years. Which, I don't know. I saw him carrying a champagne bottle. Maybe the champagne was just for this other woman that was in the hot tub. We didn't see her face, but I'm willing to bet that it's the fucking groupie. The groupie is killing them off and taking the money. I don't know how she's going to get the money. Maybe it's in the will. Maybe it's in Buddy's will that if he dies, all the money from the music publishing goes to the groupie. But since all the band members have music publishing, they all have to die first so that she can get the money. That is my working theory. So, you know, Buddy is kind of like, this still sounds suspicious. I'm hiring you, Hasselhoff Detective Agency. And, you know, Buddy's a rich rock star, so I'm hoping the Hasselhoff Detective Agency gets paid. Because that's been kind of a big thing, that they never fucking get paid. And when they do, it's like $50. I don't know how the detective agency is still going. I mean, yeah, Hasselhoff's got his day job as a lifeguard, and Garner, I'm sure he's got something going on. What is Angie Harmon doing for money? I will help you, Angie Harmon. I will help you out. I don't have money either, but I will find a way to help you. Meanwhile, over Donna DeArco's on the boat, and the guys go to, like, a buoy? Is that what? The buoys! I don't know what that was. I swear, I am, like, cold stone sober. I am not, like, high or anything. Just, I am high on life. I am high on Baywatch nights. But they find a buoy. But whatever it is that they were looking for, it's not there. Uh-oh, and this other boat's coming. Like, oh, some troubles are coming. So they pull out their guns, like, yeah, Donna DeArco, you just shut up. And this other boat comes, and this big tough guy, like, and they start just calling each other bro. Like, bro, it's all good. And bad guy's like, bro, it's not good. And you got a woman, and that's too many people. And he pulls out a machine gun and starts shooting. And then another guy on the boat is holding a machine gun. But I don't think he's actually, like, shooting at anyone. I think he's just kind of holding it there. Like, but he's moving it back and forth, but it doesn't look like anything's coming out of his machine gun. Maybe he's just going like, pew, 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 while the real machine gun's shooting everyone. Donna DeArco manages to jump into the water safely before she gets hit by any bullets. But the two guys, they can't say the same. And they fall slow motion into the water. And they're bleeding. And Donna DeArco thinks like an artery got shot. But luckily for them, they're wearing like blood resistant suits or something. Because there's no blood in the water. And that's lucky, because if there were sharks, they'd smell the blood and they'd come and eat you. But Donna DeArco helps them back onto the boat, and she calls on their walkie-talkie and says, like, oh, yeah, we got two agents dead. Like, whoa, or not dead, but shot. Like, we'll send someone right over. So, did they ever come out and said they were agents? So, I'm going to guess, like, maybe they're DEA agents that were trying to get the catch on some drug dealers or something. Why are you assuming they're agents? They could just be fucking scumbags that were trying to get the money before the other drug dealers did. They got a hot tip, and you know how those movies go. Like, oh, we got a hot tip, we're going to make the great heist. And, oh, yeah, we kind of fucked up the time-wise, and you know why they were, their timeline got off? Because they stopped to pick up Donna DeArco. So this is all your fault, Donna DeArco. Photo Boy finally does something useful, and he finds an old picture, like some old promo photo of the Heat Rays, and they all look the same except for Buddy Ray, who had hair back then. And there's a girl in the picture who looks kind of familiar. Looks like Buddy's current girlfriend, but looks to be about the same age as she is now. How did that happen? Ooh, spooky! Well, I got two suggestions, two possibilities. A, some very good plastic surgery work. Or B, Buddy's current girlfriend is the daughter of his old girlfriend. Which, kind of a scuzzbag move to move from mother to daughter, I gotta say. Like it's bad enough that you leave your girlfriend for someone younger. When you leave for her daughter, that is just, that is something else. So, the Hasselhoff and Garner, Garner went with Hasselhoff, and they go to the address that they have for the current girlfriend. And there's the mom! And two and two started to come together for them. At least in the fact that, yeah, this is her mom. And they show her the photo, like, is that you? And she's like, yeah, that was a recording session. And she has a flashback. And we don't see what happens, but you get the sense that something not good happened. I'm guessing gang rape. That's my working theory, is that they gang raped her, and just things did not seem to go well. And they tell her, like, well, two of the Heat Rays are dead now. And she's like, they never call me, I never talk to them, I never see them. So, I'm gonna amend my working theory. It is the girlfriend, little groupie girl, is the one killing them all, but it's not for the money, it's for revenge. For her mom who got gang raped, and oh dear God. So I just had this thought pop up. During the gang rape, the girlfriend got pregnant, which means she might have been pregnant with Buddy's kid. gave birth to the daughter who is now banging butt. Oh man. I feel gross and scuzzy, and especially because my mind went there. No, but this is a real possibility. So I hope that Buddy has not banged the groupie yet. Because it's a very real possibility that the groupie might be his own daughter. Now, Marty's widow shows up at the detective agency. And she's like, you know, something I forgot to mention, by the way. I saw the drummer kind of messing around with the chords before the show. So you should totally go investigate him and not me. And the detective agency heads off and Angie Harmon are like, we don't quite trust her, but we got to do our due diligence and follow up and ask him some questions. So they go to ask him questions, but instead of saying anything, instead of answering any of the questions, he just keeps playing the drums. Like, oh, what were you doing with the wires? And, we're just trying to help you. Do you like my drum sounds? And they're like, okay, well, this is obviously going to be no help. So they walk out of his building just in time. Because he hits, like, the snare drum or something. And kablooey! There was a bomb, I guess, installed in his drum. Which, I mean, happens. But if he's been playing drums, like, this has got to be, like, he's had to have hit that particular drum, like, at least 15 times while he was hanging out with the Hasselhoff Detective Agency. Not to mention, you know, in the days prior, like, you know, like that old Bugs Bunny cartoon, and they have the bomb set under the one piano key, and it's the one key Bugs never hits? Maybe it's like that. Like, you have to hit it just the certain exact way at the certain exact time for it to go kablooey! And just, he just got lucky for a long time, and then he finally hit that drum, and kablooey! Luckily, the drummer does survive. So he can get interrogated by the Hasselhoff Detective Agency. Well, just Hasselhoff and Angie Harmon. But as long as you got 2/3 of the detective agency, you're good. And so they show him the picture, like, do you recognize the girl? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's that groupie. You're like, actually, it's the groupie's mom. Like, oh, okay, whatever. You got to remember for us what happened. Because she got scared when she saw this picture. You have to remember. He's like, dude, I did a lot of drugs back then. I can't remember. Oh, hey, actually, yeah, I do remember that night perfectly clear. We were recording the song, and she was there. Groupie's mom was there hanging out, because whatever. We're like, yeah, you can hang out. Who fucking lets the... Thing is, like, okay, it's one thing you let your girlfriend come hang out at the recording session. How does she stay at the recording session? Like, I've been in a recording session. They are fucking boring. I hated band practice because it was fucking boring and it was my band. You watch the Beatles Get Back documentary? Every shot of Yoko Ono? She is bored out of her fucking mind. She is a fucking saint for being there for those sessions. Like, it totally turned me around on Yoko Ono. Like, my God, fuck John Lennon. He was forcing Yoko to sit through those things. But this girl, I guess, because she was just fucking drunk, hung out. And then after the session, Buddy passes out. Luckily, because this is going to eliminate him from possibly being the groupie's father, so when he slept with the groupie, he did not sleep with his own daughter. Whew. But the rest of the band, they went to the back with her groupie's mom and gangbanged her and raped her. And you could just see Hasselhoff's now just like fucking full of disgust. Like, how can you fucking do that, man? And he's like, she didn't say no. And Angie Harmon's like, she's drunk. She couldn't say no. See, Baywatch Nights is a pretty progressive show. They're telling you, drunk people can't give consent. That is true. And he's like, no one told me no back then. I was a rock star. And Hasselhoff's just like, that doesn't excuse things. And Hasselhoff is mad. And he's got his brown Adidas bomber jacket on. I only bring that up because I like to bring that up. Every episode. It's a perfect fucking bomber jacket. I love it. So Gardner's keeping an eye on Buddy and the groupie. The groupie's in a bikini, and I recognize that ass. She's the killer. Okay, no, I don't really recognize her ass. But that was a great line, wasn't it? I recognize her ass. She's definitely the killer. That is going to be my motto. That's... oh, boy. So, but Buddy and the groupie more so, is like, we're going to just go off into the sea. Because no one could hurt us there, right? And Buddy's like, yeah, you know, because we can go fuck at sea. And Garner's like, I don't think that's a good idea. I said we're going to go fuck in the sea. Well, he didn't say that, but that was implied. And so they go off, and Garner's like, oh boy, I'm an idiot. And Hasselhoff and Angie Harmon show up, and they're like, yeah, you're an idiot. Let's go after them. And they're there. Buddy and the groupie, they're just chilling when the groupie picks up the guitar. Dude, you brought your guitar on the boat for a trip to the sea? Wow, you're fucking lame. Our pretentious, like, oh, I'm gonna play some guitar for you. Oh, by the way, it's an electric guitar, so I can't plug it into anything. Why do you... At least if it was an acoustic guitar, I could be like, okay, sure. He's gonna jam out some acoustic jams. But she hits him over the head with the guitar and throws him off board. Or throws him overboard. And he's stuck in the sea, and he's gonna drown, except Hasselhoff Detective Agency comes to the rescue! And then they catch up to the boat, and they tell the groupie, like, it's over. And she's like, you need to let him die! And Hasselhoff says, he was drunk that night. He knew nothing about it. He did nothing to your mom. Which, implicit in his saying, what the hell? Sorry, I'm distracted because I just got a text from a pizzeria. And, yeah, I could go for some pizza. Again, I've had it like 3 times this week. But implicit in David Hasselhoff's whole, he wasn't there, he's innocent, is, yeah, the other people should have been killed. Like, no murder is bad. He doesn't start off with that, like, you shouldn't kill people. Just, yeah, he's innocent. You shouldn't kill him specifically. So, I don't know, I guess she probably gets carted off to jail or something. And Hasselhoff goes to visit the mom, and he's like, yeah, I know things can't be saved, and this can't bring back your life, but Buddy is going to sign the royalties of his new song over to you. Which, gee, what a great guy Buddy is! Shouldn't he sign the royalties to one of his hits? Not his new song. Your peak was like 20 years ago. Your new song isn't gonna do jack shit. That's gonna be like no money. Unless he thinks it's gonna be like a big Kokomo style rebound hit. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you to this fake ass song, cause we're not the real Beach Boys. See, this is why I never became famous. I never became like a hit musician, because I suck at it. And then a cab pulls up to the building where the Hasselhoff Detective Agency is, and out comes Donna D'Errico. Hey, remember her? Remember she had a whole subplot going on? And yeah, we don't learn what happened after the guys got shot, or how she knew that they were like agents for something. No, we learned nothing. And Photo Boy's there like, oh, how was your day? And she's like, she flashbacks to the scenes we all seen, and nothing afterwards. And she's like, yeah, kind of an interesting day. I'll tell you over drinks. And that brings us to the end of season one of Baywatch Nights. And incredibly, it got renewed for a second season. I haven't tracked the time yet, but I think this episode has gone longer than the actual... Or, I think this episode of my podcast has gone longer than the actual episode of Baywatch Nights. I don't know, this one pissed me off. It just... Again, no Angie Harmon in a bikini. Though Donna DeArco was in a wetsuit that was very wet and clingy. And we got a lot of, like, bland surf rock. So there was that. At least we got the Hasselhoff bomber, brown bomber Adidas jacket. I love that thing. I want to make love to that jacket. So, yeah, season one is in the books. And next time we start season two. So I've got 22 more episodes. The finish line is so there. I'm at the midway point. This is the podcast equivalent of hump day, I guess. I love you guys.